call Tom.
Hey, Tom usually is here by now. The others seem to roll in at 6, so we still might have enough. Steve's been coming a little later.
Yeah.
I'm usually here.
Minutes for me.
So somehow we missed June.
Oh. You know, I was gone in July. So I wonder if someone else just...
And we didn't have August, and I wasn't here in September, so...
It probably just...
Well, through like that. Was like, there was a minute silence. Yes,
Sandy about Sandy.
No.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Sandy.
I think that clock is fast.
Oh, yeah, all it is.
That's it. Yeah. She loves that clock.
We'll sign that.
Okay.
Can give it back to me
I
then to read.
I don't have a clock in my house that's like consistent.
Yeah, I know.
Especially right after setting the clocks back. It's always
while you're getting set up, I'm gonna get started, okay?
Okay, yep.
Okay, the November 16th, 2022 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. The meeting's being recorded for those purposes. I'll do a roll call. Mike Angelo?
Here.
Tom DiDonatis?
Here.
Sandy Ballard?
Here.
Lindsay, thank you. Lindsay Drew. And Steve Seidel, that's me. I'm here too, or at least partially here. We have a fairly full agenda tonight, so we'll try to keep this moving along. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as corrected by the edits that were sent yesterday from the October 19th, 2022 meeting. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Sandy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay. Those pass. All right, old business. We have two items today. First, we have the adoption of a decision in the case of Rachel Stull, case number 2022-12. I will read the substantive parts of the order and ask for a motion to approve this. Number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-303, table 4, regarding the front yard setback for an accessory structure is granted. The applicant may encroach to within 32.50 feet of the front yard property line for the proposed shed. Number two, the applicant shall construct the improvements in strict compliance with the plans and specifications submitted to the board during the hearing of this matter, provided, however, that if the improvements that are the subject of this hearing as finally constructed require less relief than granted by the board herein, no additional relief from this board shall be required. Do we have a motion to approve that?
So, second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes 5-0. Okay. Next item of old business is a continuance in the case of Davis Enterprises, LLC, case number 2022-13. You can come forward.
Excuse me, once again, I need to recuse myself from this issue based on my involvement with the property.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Yep.
Yeah, and just a reminder to everyone, you know, this is a continuation of the hearing that we started at the last meeting. It's been re-advertised, duly re-advertised, and so we're here to hear additional testimony, all the testimony that was made by all the parties at the prior meeting is part of the record already. So.
Okay, I'm Donald Davis, representing Davis Enterprises.
And we'll need to swear him in. Yeah, we'll need to swear you in again.
I do. All right, we're here for continuance of the request to substitute one non-conforming use for another. The amendment from the last meeting was to redefine that non-conforming use as a guest lodging, dining, and conference facility. Section 225-5027. So we are looking to reconfigure about 3,500 square feet of the second floor of the building, which was prior to this a sleep center. And then in 2021, it was approved to be used as professional office space, but we wish to use it as a conference center. We don't anticipate that the use will be any more of a burden to the area as than the previous use. We anticipate limiting groups to 12 or fewer for the conference center. And if lodging is needed, that lodging would accommodate only those who are participant in the meeting that are required for the meetings. We will not offer the lodging to the public at large for any other purpose or at any other time.
Okay. So the revised request is for guest lodging, and that by definition allows food as well. So, but is it still your intent not to be providing on-site prepared food?
No, that's a good question. I'm sorry. Yes, we do not have any kitchen facilities for preparation of food on-site, so we anticipate that participants will provide their own, either going out or perhaps catering something in, which would be limited to that particular event.
Does that conclude your testimony, or do you have additional?
That's my testimony, yes.
We'll take any questions on, any questions from board members?
Could you remind the board how many suite rooms
have? There are 6 rooms, and they would be limited to 2 persons per room. And in my testimony last time, I talked about the parking, which is more than adequate to support the activity.
And you said 3,500 square feet of this building?
Yeah, I tried to calculate the amount of space that we're anticipating. The original sleep center was 6,000 square feet. Some of that was rented out to a chiropractic company, and then the office space that was part of the sleep center will be used as office space. So what remains is those 6 rooms, some 3 bathrooms, and 2 conference rooms, and a what you might call a lunch room or some place to just serve what they might use for their meeting meal.
Any other questions from the board? No. Okay, then we'll entertain any members of the public that wish to testify. If you'd please come forward. We need to swear you in. Please give your full name and address.
Maria De Carmine Bender, 1445 East Caracas Avenue. Oh, it's my last name. It's D-E, capital C-A-R, M-I-N-E, dash or space, Bender, B-E-N-D-E-R. Yes. Okay, I was here last month, and I think this proposal has been presented as if it's not going to have a greater impact on the neighborhood than what we currently have or have had. I've lived there for 9 years now, and I actually disagree with that. I went to that sleep study before I moved to the neighborhood. I went in the evening, and I left early in the morning. I think I got up at like 6 in the morning. I was out of there before the children in the neighborhood were up or anything like that. What this is going to do, what it's going to change, because currently right now, it's typical office hours. So it starts after the kids are off to school, and ends whatever, 4:35. Maybe the chiropractor has some evening hours. I actually go to him now. That's a benefit to the neighborhood. My concern is with having the overnight accommodations. Now you've changed it to, instead of a short amount of time, you've changed it to 24/7. That's going to have an impact on our kids. As I said last time, we have 10 children that are the ages of 10 and under that live within a block of that facility. Six of those children get on the bus right at the side door, okay? So if you have people that are there, I mean, I can envision a side door, somebody going out to get a smoke or something, and now here's our children standing at the bus waiting. When you have office or medical, those are people by and large who are in our neighborhood. They're vested in it. Now you're opening up to a conference center, you're opening up our quiet residential neighborhood with young children to strangers coming in. I don't know how often, we don't know where they're coming from, it just changes the dynamics, and in my mind, the safety issue. The other thing is, if you're having now a 24/7 situation right now, it's dark out. I left to come here. There were two lights on the side of the building and a light on in the building. That's not so intrusive. When you bring people in, I'm assuming you're going to have to turn those parking lights on. Now we have, for me, light pollution. I walk at night. I like that it's dark. I like that I could see the stars. You're having people coming at all hours of the night. Caracas doesn't have lights, and I never wanted to have lights. But if people are leaving or coming, now you've set up a possible situation that could be a safety situation. The other thing is that was spoken to about last month is the road that takes you to Chocolate, that's directly as you exit this building, takes you up Walker, okay? Walker actually starts, you can fit two cars because my car's parked there and trucks can get past, but after you pass the alley, it actually narrows, and somebody talked about it last month, that it narrows to a situation where two cars cannot get there safely. So now I'm envisioning up to 12 people leaving, and they're going up. This is the most direct road. You're not going to tell them you've got to use Roosevelt or another road. They're going to probably do what they see in front of them. And you're creating a possible, again, safety issue. We already have, as you go up Walker there on the corner, is an Airbnb. So we already have strangers coming in. And there have been noise issues, not anything where anybody would call, but it has been disruptive at times, if I'm going to be honest. So now we're going to have occasional disruption in the back and then possible disruption in the front. The other thing is last month, Mr. Fox was here too. Can I reference what? And he said about that there was, I guess, up at the state police, they had this sort of a situation with the building, small conference center with the rooms there, and it worked out really well. And what I wanted to say is, yes, but that wasn't a residential neighborhood with children. As I explained, there are very few. Most of the road does not have sidewalks. So we use the road. We're pushing strollers, families in the evening and throughout the day. Kids are riding bicycles, scooters, walking their dogs, their pets. It's not conducive, in my opinion, to the overnight situation. The other thing is, as I had said, that from our neighborhood's perspective, it doesn't benefit us. And I made a couple of phone calls today. And if you go east, just 0.4 miles, you have the Best Western that has conference rooms. I called to verify. Going 1 mile west, we have, hold on. We have Hampton Inns and Suites of Hershey that has conference rooms. We already have this need covered in the general area of our neighborhood. So then when I think of those things, I wonder if Davis Enterprise has done any sort of study to determine, is there even a need in the neighborhood? And that makes me wonder, do they already have the clientele picked out? Like, is this being bought for a particular group? Or is it being bought to put out to the general public? And again, or who are you advertising to? Out-of-state people, you know what I mean? It's just, and if it is to a predetermined group, I would wonder why that wasn't brought up and explained. And whether it's a predetermined group or they're going to put it out to the general public in other states, I don't know who the clients, who they want to bring in. It doesn't matter because the issues of our children not having sidewalks, now having a 24/7 impact on the neighborhood, the potential for it is strangers, it's people we don't know, I'm assuming. They don't have connection to the area. I would be against it for all those reasons.
Okay, thank you for your input. Are there other members of the public that wish to speak? Please come forward.
Hello, my name is Ginger Lowe, L-O-W-E. Address is 453 Chestnut Avenue, Hershey. I will. I do. I am Ginger Lowe, president of Derry Township Community Cats. And we do have an interest in this property, which I'll explain in just a minute. Derry Township Community Cats is a trap, neuter, return program that humanely reduces and controls the free roaming cat population in our township. We are supported financially in part by the township itself. And we have a lot of support from the police department because free roaming cats are an issue everywhere. Since the inception of our program in 2012, we have TNR'd more than 1,000 cats in Derry Township. Historically, this part of Hershey, the east end of Hershey, which I can't really show you, but the Palmdale area, when we started our program in 2012, this area was inundated with cats. There are cats everywhere. So volunteers from our program started to work with these cats. And what we do is we get the homeowners, or we ourselves trap them. We get them spayed or neutered, and then they are returned to their colonies or from whence they came. We started in 2012. We worked with the people in the mobile home park. 2015, we did Hemlock Court. Over the years, we've done numerous cats out there. And we have continued to do it in twos and threes as the time goes on. The current owner at 1512 East Caracas has been cooperating with us. There are very few cats left. The colony that is there has not grown and has now fallen to about 15 cats. On the very back end of the property at 1512 is a feeding station for these cats, and that's our interest. Again, our volunteers go out and feed them. We have people in the community who also feed, and we have a number of people who are keeping an eye on these cats in case they should get sick. We can take them to one of our vets that we use in the community. This colony will naturally die out. It's mostly elderly now. We are still concerned about the well-being of these cats and continue to be so. So it is our hope that any new owner would work with us to help ensure the safety of these cats and let us know if any plans are being made to eliminate any of the things that we have there for the cats. So with that said, thank you, members of the Zoning Hearing Board, for listening. And to Mr. Davis, I hope we can have a discussion at some point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else from the community? Okay. Seeing no other hands, Mr. Davis, is there anything you wish to add? Please come forward.
Thank you.
Just remind you, you're still under oath.
All right. I'm still under oath, right? I just want to respond to a couple of points that were raised. I want to note that on the property itself, there is a sidewalk all along the property. The side door that was referenced is on the first floor. The activity that we're talking about is on the second floor. And there's little, if any, reason for anyone to use the side door who might be involved in anything going on the second floor. There is a door on the other side of the building, behind the building, which is much more accessible for persons who might be at the meeting. We have not done a study, quite frankly. It is our intention to try to find ways to use the property efficiently and to assure that we can, acquire full usage of the property over time. I want to call attention to the fact that the property currently has only two tenants, and so some of the lack of lighting usage or other things are related to a low tenancy at this point in time, and naturally that will increase as the property gains more businesses, regardless of the nature of the business. So it is our intention to use the property efficiently with the same kinds of regard for the neighborhood as would be true for professional offices. The businesses that would be using the facilities would be professional businesses. We would anticipate trying to advertise outside the region because many times, Hershey is a destination place, but it's not our intention to emphasize the lodging nature of the activity. We're mainly interested in the business purposes, but We have no connection with a particular group or any predetermined, natural constituency in relation to this particular property.
Would you clarify two things, Mr. Davis? So you said there's currently only two tenants?
Correct.
So I assume one of those is the chiropractor that...
Correct.
Heard about, and what's the other one?
There is one other professional who is a tenant, a single office. Now, it's my intention to move my home care company, from where it is on Chocolate Avenue into the building. And so we would be a third tenant as soon as the closing is, as soon as we can close on the property and get access.
Okay. So the chiropractor is upstairs, is that, is on the second floor?
The chiropractor is on the second floor.
Part of the space.
The current professional is on the first floor, and my home care office would be on the first floor.
And I might have missed it. What was the nature of the professional? What profession is it?
I believe he's a psychiatrist or psychologist. I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Okay. And then the other question I had for you, you talked about the side door on the first floor. Is that accessible, or will that be accessible from the second floor space that we're here talking about?
If you go down the elevator or the stairs at the site, at the main entrance, which is on the parking lot side of the building.
Right.
She called the side building is actually the front if you talk about frontage to the road. But the elevator and the main entrance and stairway are at the front of the building. I mean, the parking lot side of the building. And the second floor exit is at the rear as to the street of the building and off of the second floor. Yeah. So anyone at the conference center would have to go down the steps or down the elevator to get to the side door. And when they get there to the elevator, they would have to go back to the middle of the building and then turn and go out to the side in order to get out. And it just, not any activity, you know, no one would be looking to go out that way. Doesn't make any sense.
Questions from any of the board members? No. Okay.
Can we just confirm what the request is specifically?
Yep, let's.
Yeah, we're requesting to replace a non-conforming use as a professional or business office to a lodging, dining, and conference facility.
And was the written application resubmitted with the correct information?
Yes.
So the one we have on our Dropbox is updated? David?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Okay.
So the way zoning is looking at this, and I don't want my input to be taken as testimony, the way we are looking at it is in that this non-conforming use is being proposed to take the place of the sleep study center. So that is the non-conforming use that he's seeking to change.
No, I was asking, the application I'm looking on our Dropbox is September 21st. So that's the updated with the correct language on it. I find that.
A new statement. I'm looking for right now.
That statement was added later?
Yes.
Yeah, I changed the statement to reflect the description or the activity that's in the zoning.
But it
ordinance.
Looks like the application itself that I'm looking at is still not expressing the same, the words.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, so it's a little confusing for us to look at the wrong language, but I see what you're talking about this. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? No. Did you have something else you wanted to add? Please come to the podium.
You said that it includes dining. Right now, they don't have a kitchen. At some point, if they wanted to do in-house dining, would they have to come back here, or they could just create it in the space that they have?
By the definition of that use allows dining?
Okay. And then my other thing that I'm wondering is, if this doesn't take off, what would the plans be?
I don't mind answering that question, if I may. As any businessman would look at it, you want to be successful in what you're doing. If it doesn't work, that this is an interest to businesses, then we would seek to convert the space to office use, professional type offices. Yeah, it's just that, you know, doing that for those bathroom areas would be pretty extensive work. So we wanted to see whether this would work, and if it will, it'll be good. If it doesn't, then we would try to use it as the rest of the building is permitted to be used as professional and business use.
Okay, thank you.
Just to clarify, because I'm trying to remember from the last meeting and the continuation of this, when the previous non-conforming use was approved for the sleep study center, that was under different ownership, not affiliated with the sales agreement, correct?
I believe that's with the owner who's currently selling. You're talking about 2020? We had a case in 2020 that we heard that was asking for...
In 2020, it was going from a sleep study center to professionals.
Right.
So...
I think that's the owner that you're purchasing
so
from.
So now you're doing business professional to the lodging, dining, and conference.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, that's where
in our
application, trying to go back and forth from where things have changed. I'm just trying to make sure I follow exactly what the request is because of ownership changes and use changes.
Yeah, actually, we are not the owners yet. We have an agreement of sale, but yeah.
You're purchasing from the owners that had been before us in 2020, is that correct?
I'm sorry.
You're proposing to purchase this building from the owners that were before
yes.
this board in 2020, is that correct?
From the owner that owned it in 2020, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. He was the owner from 2008, I believe.
Right, okay.
Yep.
Are you clear, Lindsay, or do you need other further questions?
If I can just have 1 second.
Yep, give you a second here, sure.
Is the business and professional offices currently, is that a non-conforming use? I thought that was a permitted use.
No, I think it's
okay.
A non-conforming use, but
okay.
That was approved, right? Office and business was approved in the original case in 1994, or thereabouts.
Okay, so this is a complicated property because the owner submitted plans before a zoning change in 1993, and the plan was approved as professional offices. Then the special exception in 1994 was to amend the building plans, but not the use of the building. Then in 2020, the case was to convert a portion of the building that was being used for medical-related research into a chiropractor's office. This proposal is to convert the remaining portion of the sleep study center into the guest lodging, dining, and conference facility.
But David, the office space was approved by the variance sometime after the 1993 zoning change was made, correct? To allow use as office space. But that definition of office space at that point was different than what that definition is in the current zoning, correct?
There we go. Yes, the definition of office changed with the 2017 zoning ordinance, whereas prior to that, medical offices and offices were lumped together, which is how the Sleep Study Center was put in the first place, because it wasn't substituting a nonconforming use. It was a continuation of an existing nonconformity of office space.
Does that answer your question, Lindsay?
Yes. So then my other question would be the guest lodging, dining, conference facilities, as defined in the zoning ordinance, is for the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District and is specific to overlay, the compact overlay. So are there any other conditions?
We're
substituting the nonconforming use, but that nonconforming use is also as defined specific to another zoning district and overlay.
To clarify, the special exception being sought is from Section 603, the substitution of nonconforming uses. It is not Chapter 502.7, because that is specific to the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District and overlay. So this is a special exception for a nonconforming use to go to something that isn't permitted in that specific zoning district.
Yeah, I was referring to that other section for definitional purposes, just to use a defined use from the zoning hearing board, understanding that it wasn't a permitted use in that district from the beginning.
But the letter does not, the letter states that it is seeking, the applicant proposes a new nonconforming use for guest lodging, dining, conference facilities, referencing Section 225.502.7.
Just for definition purposes.
Not for the actual request, which is a special exception to the substituting nonconforming uses. So the application and supporting statement are not the same as what the testimony is for request, correct?
Well, yes, and that is something that the applicant could amend. We have advertised correctly based on the relief sought. Based on the relief, orally requested, not written. Well, the amended statement does reference the guest lodging, dining, and conference facility. Whether the actual section number is less the advertising, the notice of this hearing was correct.
The requested use was advertised correctly.
The
reference as to what relief, what section with relief is requested,
right,
in accordance with is not 502.7. It's
sure.
Yeah, that's why
nonconformity rights.
In my parenthetical phrase there, I put the word C in order to, I would try and emphasize that it's the definition that I'm referring to,
right,
and not request using that as my proposed, I guess, basis for change.
Okay. I mean, guest lodging is also covered in the definitions in the code as well, correct,
yes.
Megan?
So. Yes, there is a definition for that.
So that's what your intention is. Okay.
So my application refers to the change citation.
Any further questions or clarification needed?
I'm sorry. If this request is denied, does Mr. Davis need to come back here if he decides to put offices.
Yes, because the non-conforming use currently is medical-related research.
Why would he need to do that?
The building is already being used as professional offices, so therefore that's a continuation of non-conforming use. My apologies. It would not need a new special exception for offices.
Would the case we approved in 2020, would that timeline have expired on this, or would he still be permitted to use that as office space in accordance with that relief?
That relief was specific to medical practitioner's office, which is different than business and professional offices.
Okay. I don't hear any other comments or questions, so I think we'll close this out. So, Mr. Davis, just want to let you know that the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to new business. First item is hearing in the case of Justin Newcomb, case number 2022-14. Are you Mr. Newcomb?
Yes, I'm Justin Newcomb. I live on 1676 Sand Hill Road, Hershey.
Is there anyone else who's going to be testifying on your behalf in addition to yourself?
Depends on the question.
Well, if they are, if we could swear them in at the same time with you, okay. That would be great.
Yeah. Steve. I'm not an expert on all this. I'm an educator. Okay. So I heard a lot of complicated stuff back there, and I was like, I don't know.
Each case is different.
Yep.
So who is here with you?
This is Steve Hines.
My name's Steve
contractor.
Hines. I'm at 18 Roush Road. Homeless Town. I'm at 918 Roush Road, Homeless Town. Hines, H-I-N-E-S.
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking to get a variance to put an addition onto my house. It's non-conforming at this time.
Okay. So just as far as procedurally, so you understand what we need to do here tonight. So obviously we have your application. You can assume that we have reviewed that. So you just need to kind of take us through what you're proposing to do.
Okay.
And the criteria that was in the application, I think there are five key points for
gotcha.
The variance. Mm-hmm. Could you kind of take us through, at least in summary, what, covering each of those items, please, so we get that on the record.
All right. So, in short, to start us off, we'd like to add on a kitchen and living room to our current house. We purchased a house because it's actually directly across the street from my mom's house. And the current living conditions, we can't comfortably sit down and eat dinner together as a family. We're all sitting on the floor, a lot of us. And, the family room is really small, so we'd like to put that addition on. So taking us through the 5 points here. All right, so the first one, the property has a setback of 30 feet, but the house was built prior to 1900, and it's within 12 to 15 feet of Sand Hill Road before any zoning ordinance existed in Derry Township. As the structure is non-conforming, it was always be non-conforming due to the house being within 12 feet of the road. Any exceptions to the existing house require variance because of the 2006 expansion. Slow down. Okay. The hardship is that the dwelling does not meet the front setback as prescribed in the zoning ordinance. We did not build the original house or complete the original addition. The property contains nearly 4 acres of land, and the addition will be straight back from the house. Due to the size of the property and the proposed location and addition, expansion will not be visible from most neighbors. We're proposing to keep the entire addition out of any setback instead of expanding horizontally, creating more of a nonconformity. The proposed addition represents less than 1% of our total lot area. I also have a letter from the neighbor who, the only neighbor that would possibly see this due to the vegetation and landscape of our house, saying that he is in favor of the addition. It's signed by him. Should I submit this?
Yeah, if you can bring that forward. Which side of your house is that neighbor?
So if you're east side?
If you're facing,
I'm sorry,
you're
west
facing
side.
Your house from the road.
Facing the house, it's on the right-hand side.
On the right-hand.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that one right there. And directly across the street is my mom. So. Okay. She's okay with it. Yeah.
Just 1 second, please. Just a question. So you said the addition is behind the existing entirely behind the existing
Correct.
Structure.
Yes.
Is the back of the current structure 30 feet back from the road? In other words, is the entire addition behind the 30-foot setback?
Yes.
Yes.
And one other question for that. I saw there looked like there was a structure potentially being added in one of your drawings on the left side of the house.
That's the garage, I believe you're referencing.
No, it looked like there was something attached to the house. I don't know if it was a roof you were adding or the other side, yeah. Are you adding a structure that's coming off the side of the house?
Oh, that would be, that's the current side entrance. It's there now in existence. That's how we mostly, we pull in the driveway, we go into the house. So yeah, if you keep going, you know, look, it's, there's a door right there already. So yeah, we just put a little roof over it, protect from rain and
but
stuff.
But you're adding something there?
Yes, sir.
And is that within the 30 feet or not?
It probably is, yeah.
You're not moving the entrance? The entrance is the
same? No. Yeah, to keep the, you know, we like where the entrance is. It's convenient.
All right, I'm sorry, continue. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I mean, do you have any other questions? And again, the reason why we're doing this is because right now, you know, we have 700 square feet, you know, in that first floor, and that is currently a kitchen, a full bathroom and living room and, you know,
stairway.
Yeah, and anytime we have, you know, we've been living there for 3 years and we have family dinner there, we're all, you know, half of us are sitting on the floor and, you know, so we would like to add on, because this is our forever house. I grew up in Hershey, you know, my son goes to Hershey, I just want to live there, and so we'd like to have that, and so that we have some space for our family.
Any questions from other board members?
Well, at the same time, preserving, you know, the historical nature of the house. It was built, you know, it's got some historical value to it, and, you know, we really like it. And even though it's close to the road and inconvenient to pull out of our driveway sometimes, it's pretty special.
Any other questions? No?
I have none.
The measurements on the last page of the application. Yes, they are correct. Yeah, we had an architect. We hired an architect because we really just wanted to make sure that we did this right. And they, you know, came out and did a fantastic job creating this.
I just want to make sure we're clear. So this is maybe for David and Megan. So the expansion, we're above the amount because of the prior expansion. We're already above the 50% that this board can allow by special exception, correct?
Correct.
This is why this is being considered as a variance from the setback. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so I know when we're looking at square footage, that's floor area, right, David?
Yes.
And so that doesn't include this. That's why I'm asking this question about the structure on the side. Does that require any different action by us? Megan, I'll ask you to weigh in on that as well. Any different action by us in terms of we're granting a variance that it would apply to that as well?
No, because, 225-602 is the expansion or alteration of non-conforming building land use or structure under 0.5. It allows an increase of the horizontal length of a nonconformity by 75%. The proposed roof over the entranceway is less than 75% of the horizontal wall that it would be expanding.
What would that even apply, since we're looking at a variance as opposed to a special exception?
No, that doesn't require a special exception. That's permitted by right. It's when you go over the 75% is where it kicks into the variance for the wall.
That you're understanding?
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, no other questions? Is there anybody from the public that wishes to testify in this case? I guess seeing no hands. Again, the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved by that decision in any way.
I understand. Right, thank you.
Okay. Our last case tonight is hearing in the case of Stephanie Tuccio, case number 2025-15. Is there somebody? Is there somebody here representing? No.
Okay. Well,
they were made aware of the hearing date. This company has obtained variances before. So.
Is this Stephanie Tuccio? Is she involved with the signage company that's working for Giant?
She is the project manager for the sign proposal.
Okay. Okay, what do we do in this case?
When do we decide about this? A special meeting? Like, it was brought up in the email to us about a special
meeting. I want to be clear on what we do with this
case here. Are you here for something in particular? You're not here with Giant.
There were people behind me.
No.
No, I'm not representing anybody.
Okay. Great. Good. I just thought I'd ask.
I'm sorry. They were there.
could deny the application for failure to prosecute, but I would recommend that you have David reach out to see if they'd ask for a continuance, or if they would just withdraw their application.
Right.
I can't imagine that.
Okay.
Maybe some reason they didn't show up.
Do we need to vote on that?
Well, I don't think we're
here
for you to
authorize
David.
I'll make a motion to authorize David to reach out to the applicant to see if they are going to request a continuance or withdrawing their application.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Sandy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Okay.
That made our night shorter.
Okay, so now, David, you had indicated that there was, in which case were we talking about the need for that? Was it this case that we've just?
I'm sorry, I'm just blown away right now.
Yes, it is the Newcomb case, the one that you just heard, the variance for expansion of a non-conforming use.
Okay.
Long story short, the zoning officer, David Habig, dropped the ball, and there was a miscommunication in the office about which property. As he mentioned, his address is 1676, his mother's address is 1675, and we had been in contact with her about needing stormwater. So when the permit due date came, we reached out and said, we can't process this permit without stormwater. So the review stopped once the stormwater issue was noticed. What should have been done is the complete review should have been done, and realized they needed a variance as well. Due to them not being alerted that they needed a variance, they missed two separate zoning hearing board submission deadlines while their paperwork sat in the community development office. So therefore, they asked if we could hold a special meeting to vote on their decision so that they may get their decision earlier and hopefully break ground before, I was going to say it snows, but that was yesterday. So hopefully break ground before the ground's frozen.
And can we vote on the other one too? Can we just have our meeting date moved?
You can vote on both, but you can't have...
Can't have the meeting date earlier.
Vote on both, and if there are no cases, which we don't know yet, I guess, or do you know that we have some cases for?
The deadline's next week.
This is still part of the meeting, yes.
I didn't know.
Okay, that's it. Well, we might as well just vote on both of them, and then...
If we're going to have a special meeting, I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, is that okay? Is the date okay with everybody?
Well, I do want to also point out, because of the conversation this board had before, you guys would not need to actually physically be present at the meeting. I would recommend, if that is the plan, be prepared to make a motion to allow the chairman to sign for the board. That way you guys don't need to make a special trip into the building to hold a meeting. And you can also schedule the meeting during business hours. It does not need to be at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. If all of you can hop on a conference call or one person be here, and sorry, Maria, you need to be here for it. But then you can vote at any time that works for the board.
So is there anybody on the board that's opposed to doing that, assuming we can find a appropriate date? Okay, so I think the question is...
And to allow for preparation of the decision?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, if we're looking at a day after Thanksgiving, we'll have the decisions circulated by then.
Okay. So is there a date you were proposing, David?
Fifth.
I think you said the 5th, but I don't know if that was a date that you were targeting or a date or by that date.
It just says the earliest date available would be December 5th.
Yes, we do need to advertise this meeting one time in the legal notices. Okay. So the earliest we would feel comfortable being able to get that notice out would be to have a meeting on December 5th.
Well, why don't we schedule, why don't you follow up with us to schedule when we do it, and then...
Would you be opposed to sending out a doodle poll?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, what, we can't just send a, we can't set a date today?
Yeah, why not?
I can't do December 5th. It's school board reorganization
in the evening. What about during the day?
But as long as there's...
I mean, I, yeah, I have issues beyond the 5th, potentially, so, but I can be here on the 5th.
I'd be fine.
And if others are okay with me signing, if you have to call in, that's fine. I think we've allowed that in our procedures.
But are we talking about 6 o'clock or during the day?
School board reorganization's at 6 o'clock.
So maybe just during
the day. But we can do it during the day.
Yeah, I would say I could do a lunch call.
I can't do 12 to 2. Anything else I can do?
11:30.
How about 11?
11 o'clock would be good.
I could do 11.
11 o'clock.
Are good with everybody?
I don't know that I need to be here for that.
No.
If you're just voting on decisions that have already circulated, because I do have a conflict in the afternoon that I would need to leave the office early for. So.
And we don't have to be here, as I was said.
No.
Megan, there's no requirement that you're at our at the meeting. Is there?
Not for voting. No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather do a conference call if you can.
Yeah. If we can do 11 o'clock, if we can do 11 o'clock, I can be here.
If we're doing 11, I can be here.
And whoever wants to call in, calls in.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So I will, just to clarify for Maria, I will be operating a phone to which you guys were all. You will all be supplied the number to, and then that way, and we're going to have to be cognizant of announcing who's motioning what and who's seconding and announcing, but it will all be that phone over there on conference allowing for...
Yeah, and you'll need to make sure that everybody can hear everybody.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
So do we
I'll
need?
Be here.
I'll be here as well, David. And then if
I can come in, because then if we have at least three people here, we don't have to go through all of that and motion to allow someone to sign and
Yeah.
Right.
I guess I could come too. Yeah. Okay. Just seems like a lot of driving for 5 minutes, but yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I feel like honestly the headache of trying to make a conference call. Work here is probably a lot worse.
So 11 o'clock on the 5th. Okay. All right. So with that settled, then have a motion to adjourn.
And I just went. So David, will you communicate to them that there will be a decision, a special meeting for that decision? Okay.
Yes, and I will also, with your permission, let Davis Enterprises know that their decision will be ready early as well.
Megan, do we need a motion to no, okay.
No.
Okay, so I think that concludes our business. Any have a motion to adjourn?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Tom, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we will adjourn to executive session.
Steve.
I did. I worded it a little funny.
I did.
Okay. I guess we
Yeah.